All right, we're on. Hello, everybody. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here today for the first ever Axis TV Impact Media Call. Right now, I have everybody on mute. When we get started here, you'll see on the right-hand side of the screen, for those of you using the web platform, next to your name, you'll see a little hand button. So if you want to ask a question, you just click that hand button, and it'll notify me so that I can unmute people in the order that we get the questions in. You'll also see there is a chat function on the right-hand side. And in the chat, you can send questions or messages to me directly, and I can talk back and forth with you there as well.
This is Cindy. I'm excited to get this going, so go ahead and raise your little hands.
Yeah, I see a few coming in already, and okay. I just want to check. So we have Scott, Damore, Ty Valkyrie, and Brian Cage. Are you all here?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. All right, so go ahead and get started then. And for those of you calling in, we will have a recording of this available later. So let's get started here with our first question. That's going to come from Bill Pritchard. Bill, are you there?
Hi, Sean. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead with your question.
All right. So I had a question for Scott first. There's been a lot of talk this week about bringing back the TNA name for a one-night-only pay-per-view. And I just wanted to see if it was early enough where you can clarify what you're trying to do with that as far as if you're looking to bring former talent back or match types, and if there was any, like, maybe pushback about calling it TNA.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question. I mean, we are pretty early in the process, and, you know, with a energetic crowd out there that certainly was showing the fact that they're longtime Impact Wrestling fans going back to our TNA roots, it seemed like the right time this past Saturday at the All Glory fan interaction event to put out a little teaser there about a one-night return to our former branding, which I think we've always made clear that we don't run from our history. We embrace it. The many-year, you know, history of TNA Impact Wrestling, we'll call it, is a fantastic part of wrestling's rich fabric of history. And to go back and be able to honor that for one night in a weekend in which you see all types of stars from all generation of wrestling usually basically converge on one city, we thought that it was a good place to do it with you know, everything going on in April in Orlando, Tampa area. So we'll go there. We'll have fun. We'll certainly look to mix in some stars of previous eras, and of course, continue to highlight the amazing roster that Impact Wrestling has currently.
And as a quick follow-up, given that you've been there since the early TNA days, is there any desire or has there been any requests for you to bring back Team Canada and maybe get you back on screen?
It's something that comes up, especially from longtime viewers and fans, and I certainly so proud and honored of what I was able to do as part of Team Canada, and it was what it was supposed to be. It was a platform where I was one of the tools to launch the careers of amazing young talent. And if you look at what Bobby Roode and Eric Young and T.D. Williams went on to do, it certainly achieved that goal. If the time was right for a reunion or something, absolutely would be open to it. But really my focus is working behind the scenes and trying to promote and build Impact Wrestling and continue to feature the greatest talent roster, I think, out there in the sport right now.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Bill. All right. Our next question here is going to come from Steve Jennings. Steve, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Fantastic. Go ahead with your question.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for taking my call. And my other question is, do you guys... how big's your penis? I mean, we've wondered for years And I'm not sure that we've ever seen it, felt it, smelt it. Guys, can you answer that? What do you think? Hello?
I don't know.
Hey, can you repeat your question for us?
And or? Make it serious, or what?
No, how big is your rig?
Oh, your ring?
No, your rig. Your dong.
Oh. Oh.
Sorry, we couldn't quite get your question there. We're going to go ahead and grab another question here. Nick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, fantastic. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you guys so much for taking the time today. My first question is also going to be for Scott here today. Scott, a lot of buzz around the fact that Kylie Rae appeared at Bound for Glory. I was just wondering if you could give us an update on what Kylie's status is with Impact Wrestling going forward.
We were happy and honored to have Kylie Rae choose to be part of our Bound for Glory weekend to be a surprise entrance. In the Call Your Shot Gauntlet, Kylie is an amazing performer. She has a charisma that very few do, and I think that the door is certainly open if Kylie chooses that she's interested in being part of Impact Wrestling, and I think she would excel in our amazing Knockouts division because she's exactly what we like to feature, which is talented, world-class female athletes that have amazing personas and connect with an audience. So that's my opinion on it, and I'd honestly like to hear what our Knockouts champion would think of Kylie Rae joining the Knockouts division.
I would as well. That was my follow-up. Thank you, Scott. Yes, Taya, what do you think about Kylie Rae and her possibly joining the Knockouts division?
I've actually had the chance to wrestle her prior at an independent show. I think she's extremely talented. I think that she would bring definitely something different to our Knockouts division, and I am more than happy to humiliate her over and over again and have her go after me for the Knockouts title, because I know that La Huera Loca ain't scared of no smiley Kylie.
Damn. All right. And I guess lastly here, I'd like to ask something to you and Brian both. You know, there's been a lot of intergender wrestling in Impact Wrestling as of late, including Tessa recently taking part in that crazy X Division ladder match. Do you feel a need to have a men's and women's title? Do you think that maybe Impact should explore the idea of unifying those titles to make them an intergender title?
I mean, it's such a complicated question because it can go in so many directions. I do feel that like everybody should be able to challenge each other for the titles. I feel like that is something you know, something different that we could try doing. I mean, Brian, whenever you're ready, bro.
I mean, you did try it once, Ty, in a different promotion. It didn't work out too well for you. I think there should be all titles, just like, you know, I know it's the style that everyone does now, but like how the X Division has its own style, and there's the Cruiserweight and the tag team and the world and so on and so on. So it creates different stuff. Doesn't mean that, sure, that a woman can't challenge for the world title, but I don't think that they should eliminate any titles, no.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys so much for the time. Really enjoyed Bound for Glory.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Nick. All right, we're going to go on to Joe Lanza. Joe, are you there?
I am here. Thank you.
Fantastic. Go ahead with your question.
So this first question is for Scott. With moving to Axis, I know that they don't subscribe to Nielsen ratings, but can you give us an idea of what type of viewership increase you guys are expecting with the move from Pursuit and or Twitch over to Axis?
Well, I think one of the amazing things of moving Impact Wrestling over to Access TV is that it is a robust platform. I believe about 55 million homes it's available in. And it's a network, Access TV is, that wrestling fans, most importantly, are very familiar with. So I would think that coming out of the gate, we would be very competitive and with the current products that we currently have on Access TV with New Japan and Women of Wrestling, WOW. So I think you're going to see some great growth. I'm certainly not the expert who's going to sit here and going to throw out numbers, but I know that that New Japan has been very successful and WOW has been successful, and I think that we're certainly going to bring our own unique brand and our reach that we have from one of the largest digital platforms and international platforms and all of the industry, and having Access TV now as a domestic base for that, I think certainly sets us up for substantial growth, both immediately and over the long haul.
Okay, thank you. And one quick follow-up on the intergender topic. As you guys lean more heavily into that, have you received any sort of kickback from sponsors or even from wrestlers in the locker room that aren't comfortable doing that style?
No, I mean, there's certainly some people who will certainly openly admit that it's not their cup of tea, but we've seen no sponsor blowback or anything with any of our partners because, you know, in the modern era here, as we sit on the verge of being in 2020, the idea of equally featuring male and female competitors and performers, it seems almost ludicrous to me that it's still a topic for debate. It should be something that's automatic, but unfortunately, since it isn't, we're very proud to be at the forefront of putting that out there, both with obviously Tessa Blanchard and also with all of our amazing knockouts, and doing what we've done since day one, which is so that, you know, as Eddie Edwards likes to say, anything is possible, whether you're a male or a female. And now we're showing you that if you're a female, it doesn't mean that the Knockouts Championship is the only title you can aspire to. You can aspire to anything you want. And there hasn't been, I think, really almost any major negative. There's certainly always going to be the haters out there that you'll find on social media. But overall, it's been overwhelmingly positive, both in our locker room, in the industry, and certainly from fans.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great, thank you. All right, our next question here is going to come from Stephanie. Stephanie, you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Fantastic. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, Ron. Stephanie from Stitcher Magazine, United Kingdom. How are you?
Good.
I will start with a question for Scott. Aside from Kylie Rae, Joey Ryan was in the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match, and he signed with the company. Put any kind of restriction on his character for him to come to Impact?
Well, we signed an amazing performer and professional wrestler who has been out there for many years, including having a previous run in this company. Joey's character certainly can be a polarizing one at some times, but as you saw Sunday night at Bound for Glory, he is a beloved character and performer in professional wrestling. So kind of our thing is not trying to limit performers when they come in, you know, to Impact Wrestling. We want to showcase them for who they are. And some people out there are going to love and embrace those characters, and some are not. But one of the things we like to do, which is very different than other companies, is we don't want to fit everybody into one uniform type of, you know, role or look or style. We're going to go out there and let everybody be themselves.
And you've been at the DM of Impact for nearly 2 years. We've done. You have signed a lot of talents. You have tried a lot of new wrestling styles. You've done a lot of things. Do you feel like with the AXS deal is like the is closing the chapter of rebuilding, because this is something that we have never stopped. Saying. Do you feel like the rebuilding process now is over?
That's a great question. I certainly believe that the rebuilding process, to call it just that, is over. I think we're here. I think we've spent 2 years of putting out an amazing wrestling product. And I think with our move to Access TV, we're in a situation now where our domestic partner is very strong. Our international partners have always been very strong. Our digital department has been as good or better than just about anybody out there in the wrestling industry. And the rebuilding process is done. But the other process, which will forever be part of our goal is the constant reinventing and growth that we'd like to see. So just because we're stable, just because we now have an amazing roster that we're happy with, what makes wrestling great and that it's truly greatest moments in history is when we're out there and evolving and changing and revolutionizing what we do, whether it's going out there and featuring strong female characters at a time when nobody else did, whether it's taking the undersized competitors of the X division and showcasing them out there on a large stage when nobody else would, or whether it's out there going intergender wrestling in 2019. We will always look to grow both our company, but we'll also look to change the industry. And as long as we stay true to ourselves, we put out a strong product that we're proud of and that is meeting and engaging fans, then we'll always look for ways to change and evolve, because if you stay stagnant in this industry, then you are certainly going to see negative results. You have to go out there. You have to be pushing forward and looking for positive change, both within your company and in the industry in general. And that's something that we feel very strongly about and will continue to try to do.
Great, Stephanie. All right, our next question here is going to come from Kristen Ashley. Kristen, are you there?
I am here. Thank you.
All right, go ahead.
My first question is for Scott DeMore. So I would say across the map, Impact's women's division is really seen as the women's division, really the best women's division. Now that you're moving to Access, do you have any plans specifically for the women's division? Any new talents, new titles that you're looking at?
We're always out there looking to add new talent. Because wrestling is something that succeeds, as I've discussed many times, with changeover. And it's characters have to come in. They tell their story. We go on their saga. Then they move on somewhere else. And we bring in new and compelling characters. So we're always on the lookout for great talent. And we saw some amazing talent, Kylie and otherwise, this past weekend at Bound for Glory weekend. So you're certainly going to continue to see new talent emerge, both in the Knockouts division and also with male competitors. And then as far as for your question specifically about titles, certainly as we try to build a pretty robust Knockouts division, at some point in time we'll continue to examine if it's a situation where we look to add a Knockouts tag team championship as we've had in the past, or is it simply as we approach 2020 and where we are on equal footing and with intergender wrestling, will we see two of our amazing, powerful, and athletic females team up and chase after the current Impact World Tag Team Championships? Because remember, they're the Impact World Tag Team Championships. They're not the Impact World's Men's Tag Team Championships.
That's really promising and awesome. And it sort of segues into a question for Taya. You know, you're the longest reigning Knockouts champion. You've made your way and beaten everybody in the division. What's next for you? Do you plan on pursuing that intergender? Are there other talent that you would like to fight that hasn't been signed yet?
I think the possibility for different women coming into our division into next year is like really looking up. And I know that Scott and everybody behind the scenes is going to make sure we have the best women on our roster. As far as who else I would like to challenge, I mean, I've had many an intergender match before. I've proven myself against men smaller, bigger, and equal to me. So I'm open to any opportunity. And just like I mentioned before, you know, title versus title, let's do this. I have no problem challenging any one of our champions at this point.
That's amazing. I got chills. All right. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Kristen. All right, our next question here is going to come from Joe Glazia. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, guys. How are you?
Great. Go ahead with your question.
Great. I have questions for both Chance, and I'm hoping to start with Brian. How you doing, Brian?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you. I wanted to ask you just, you took this, you had this bad bump back at Rebellion that caused an injury. And you were still able to, you know, power through and get through this match, which is, you know, very commendable. And then you did this BioCell stem cell therapy in Colombia. How well did that help you? And do you recommend it to other wrestlers to use for rehab?
Screw you!
Yeah, the injury was awful. It was one of the most painful moments of my career. I literally thought my career might be over as far as my leg going numb. I thought I broke my back, whatever, what have you. Obviously, it's kept me off TV and being able to defend my title for quite some time. I was doing everything under the sun to try to recover from that, including going to Colombia and getting the stem cells. And I do believe it did have a substantial benefit to it. The guy that got me involved with that, too, is a huge fan of wrestling. And that's why, if you haven't noticed, there's been a handful of wrestlers going down there lately. And I definitely think that that's I've already been like semi-educated and into stem cells as well, and just the healing nature and what the benefits are. And it's a shame you can't get the actual umbilical stem cells here in the States. I do think it's tremendously helped me get past this and beneficial. And I will more likely be doing it again in the future just for maintenance and for any other injury that may occur.
Well, that's fantastic, and I'm happy to hear that you're doing better, champ. Taya, time to follow up a little bit on Kristen's question. Yes, you are the now longest reigning Knockouts champion in the company history. Can you just, you know, kind of generic, but can you give us your thoughts about what it's like to be in the top spot in what many are calling the best women's division in pro wrestling?
Well, obviously, whenever you're at the top, you have a huge target on your back, and I'm completely aware of that. Not only coming from every woman and, you know, in our locker room, but also from the fans. You know, I'm constantly being scrutinized and all this kind of stuff because everyone, you know, everybody wants to be on top, and not everybody can be. But I thrive under pressure, and I thrive when people tell me that I can't do something or you know, challenge me in that way. And so, you know, it just motivates me more when I have that target on my back to be that much better. And I think I've proven that over and over again throughout the entire year, defending my title against every single woman on our roster. So, I mean, here we go into 2020, and I know that I will be still holding this Knockouts title.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. Thank you guys so much for your time, and I look forward to watching you both in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. All right, our next question is going to come from Duke. Duke, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
First question is for Brian. Brian, a couple of months ago, Ken Shamrock was a guest on Duke Loves Wrestling podcast, and he was very specific about calling you out as a potential challenger. Are we going to see Brian Cage versus Ken Shamrock in the not too distant future?
I mean, I know he came back, he had his match with Moose, and that's how the whole thing even started. It was a little, you know, kind of playful banter back and forth between the two of us, the first ever champ, the current world champ. And I keep on saying I've always been a huge fan of Shamrock from the get-go. And he actually is the one that, you know, from wrestling, maybe get in to becoming a super fan of UFC and mixed martial arts. I would love the opportunity to work with Ken. I know he came off on the losing end at Bound for Glory, and he's going to be here at the next set of tapings, but I don't know what's next for him. If he's done, if he's doing more, if he's staying, if he's going, or exactly what's happening. I'd still love the opportunity to lace up with Ken just because I'm a fan, and I think it'd be fun and something, you know, that we could do that we'd both enjoy. But I guess that's up to him and where he's at in his career at this point in time.
Great stuff. And just one more question for Scott. You know, Scott, Impact Wrestling has gone through so many different incarnations, and before this current crop of excellent talent and this current regime in the marketplace, the name hasn't always been so strong. Now that you're on Access TV, you're on this large platform and what have you, and all things are firing on all cylinders, what's the timeline expectation internally in terms of bringing Impact to a point where the brand name itself is trusted once again for the fans worldwide?
Well, I think that trust has certainly been something that we've spoke about many times over the past near 2 years. Because when myself and Don Callis came in and joined Ed Nordholm, we knew one of the big things we needed to do was to rebuild trust. We know that previous regimes had lost trust both within this industry and with its families. So we've worked very hard, I think, over the last 2 years to show that when Impact Wrestling says that they're going to do something, that we follow through and deliver. And I think our track record over the past 2 years has been very good in that. And I think that I'm already starting to see, whereas the groundswell was often very negative when we were talking about stuff in the first half of 18 and really a good chunk of 2018 because of previous experiences, I think that in 19, and certainly as we come here, coming out of an amazing Bound for Glory pay-per-view at a sold-out building in Chicago, and sitting here and being so close to finally having our premiere on Access TV, I think we really are in a position where on a substantive level, we have fixed trust with a lot of people and a lot of fans. And we know that that's going to be an ever continuing process. And we know that every day that we wake up, we need to continue to ensure that we deliver on our promises and we reward fans that invest in Impact Wrestling. Because fans invest in many ways. They invest with their money, certainly, when they buy tickets or merchandise or pay-per-views. They also invest with their time. And time is one of the most valuable things in this world because all of us have a limited amount of it. And if somebody chooses to invest time out of their life in watching and getting engaged with Impact Wrestling, we need to reward that investment. And if we continue to do that, the trust level will grow and the circle of trust will expand. So it sounds almost kind of cheesy to say, but it really, that's how simple it is. If we wake up and continue to put a good product that respects fans, that engages and entertains fans, and we deliver on our promises, we'll continue to grow. But I think we pass the point where we start trying to worry about what we have to do to show that we're going to deliver, because we've delivered consistency for 2 years. And myself and Don, see, we knew that it was a change day the second that Anthem Sports and Entertainment came in and took over Impact Wrestling, because being Canadian, we know the track record and the morals of Anthem Sports and Entertainment. So we knew that to be the case. We then had to spend a considerable amount of time and effort showing wrestling fans, Impact Wrestling fans, that Impact Wrestling now, just like Anthem Sports, was going to echo those types of morals and that type of consistent performance and dedication to delivering on any type of investment that a fan makes into the product.
Great stuff. Great stuff. And real quick, Ty, very proud of what you've been doing over these past couple of years here. And I'm excited about the possibility of seeing some kind of cross promotion with WOW Superheroes, because some of those ladies over there, those are some great matchups for you there. So just want to leave it at that. Thanks for the opportunity, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Duke. All right. Our next question is going to come from Jim Barcelone. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead with your question, Jim.
Scott, I'm curious about Impact going to Tuesday night and your thoughts of that night with so much wrestling on TV these days and what it means to have this on Access TV that night.
I think that Tuesday night is a great night for pro wrestling, and the fact that Impact Wrestling is on Tuesday nights now on Access TV, I think it's a fantastic opportunity for us, and it puts us in a perfect spot in the schedule. So it's an unbelievable time in professional wrestling where there's so much great product out there and fans have so many choices. And we have a situation now on Tuesday nights where there had been kind of an opening up of the broadcast schedule for wrestling on Tuesdays, and we're happy to be in that. Returning to prime time was obviously important to us. Getting on a bigger platform was obviously important for us. And having an engaged partner network that was both large enough in scope and dedicated enough in its commitment to really put Impact out at the forefront was important to us. And I think with Access TV, clearly, we've achieved all those goals.
And also a follow-up, Scott, what does it mean to, because you mentioned Access TV and obviously Anthem, what does it mean to the wrestlers that are there now in Impact and that might come over in the future to have this combination in place between Anthem and Access and how important that is to the company?
Well, I think one of the things is, if you look at some of the trials and tribulations of previous regimes, a lot of it dealt with the domestic broadcast partner. And what Anthem Sports has certainly done is made a commitment, not just for Impact, but for itself. Anthem is out there and is in the media business. But acquiring Access TV, a controlling interest in Access TV, what it means specifically to Impact Wrestling fans is you now know where Impact Wrestling home. There's no question about the commitment of the network to Impact Wrestling, because we have very similar ownership. So we have a steady home that's committed to being a great partner for Impact Wrestling. So I think, to go back to one of the previous questions, this certainly is another reason, another example of how wrestling fans know that they can trust Impact Wrestling when it makes a promise that it's going to deliver. You now know where you're going to find us. You know where you're going to find us today, tomorrow, and for the very long foreseeable future. We have a home and a partner in Access TV, an amazing network that has a track record of doing an excellent job of promoting and showcasing professional wrestling. So I think that it's a huge move. I think that it shows the type of vision that Len Asper and Anthem Sports and Entertainment has. And I think it was a joyous day for all wrestling fans to know that Anthem Sports had Access TV and that Impact Wrestling was going to be a big part of that.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, Jim, thank you. All right, our next question here is going to come from James Walsh. James, are you there?
I am here. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can. Go ahead with your question.
All right, I have a question for each of our guests, if that's okay. So Scott D'Amore, it's a pleasure to speak with you again. I have been an Impact Wrestling fan literally since the first pay-per-view, June 19th, 2002. And every time there's something huge that happens like this, you know, I get goosebumps and I get so happy to see the company continue to thrive. Something that I've seen online, though, and I wanted to get your take on it, is that there's some people who are worried about the idea that there's too much wrestling now and that some of the other companies that aren't the perceived big two, maybe, might be suffering from this. Do you guys view the rest of the landscape of wrestling as competition? And how does Impact Wrestling stay ahead of the Joneses, as it were?
Well, I think that there's certainly a ton of wrestling content out there, both broadcast-wise and through other delivery and digital delivery methods. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of great wrestling out there, which I think is great for wrestling fans. There certainly is a wide array of choices that wrestling fans can make. And while, you know, the other companies are competition in many ways, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're the enemy. In order for us to succeed, they don't have to fail. Like I grew up my formative years in the construction industry. And other construction companies that competed with D'Amore Construction were our competition, but they weren't our enemy. So we're not going to look, and that's been my approach in business, and Impact Wrestling isn't going to look at everybody as an enemy. Competition is great. Competition breeds innovation, which is good for everybody. So I think that it's good that there's a lot of competition out there. And to answer the second part of your question, I think what we need to do is we need to answer the challenge and continue to go out there.
I think we might have lost Scott.
Did we lose somebody there?
I think we lost Scott.
Well, why don't we go on to your next question then?
Sure. So my next question is for Brian Cage. It's a pleasure to speak with you again. I spoke with you 2 weeks ago at LA Live. My question is, Yeah, exactly. It's great to talk to you again. You said that you were looking forward to making up for lost time when you got in the ring at Bound for Glory. How do you feel? How did you feel coming out of Bound for Glory, out of your match? And do you feel like you're ready to get on track and then start making up for that lost time?
Absolutely. That's the best I have felt during the match and after match since before Rebellion. I left on a high. I thought the match was great. Obviously, it came out with the win. I got to celebrate with my wife in the middle of the ring. No issues, especially with some of the crazy stuff that happened to me during the match. you know, right afterwards, backstage, besides my lip being split in half, nothing else bothered me. So physically, I feel great. And yeah, I'm absolutely ready and willing to get in there with anyone and everyone. And, like you said, make up for some lost time.
Yeah. When I saw the match, the first thing I said is, wow, he's back. So it looks like you're back to your old form. All right. And my final question is for Taya. It's a pleasure to talk to you again as well. There's been some discrepancy over the days on how many days you've been world champion, but now you definitely are the longest reigning Knockouts champion without any debate on that matter. I guess my question is, not to give you like an emotional question, but what does it mean to you to look at the history of the Knockouts division with champions like Gail Kim and know that your name reigns longer than the rest?
I mean, obviously it's amazing because, you know, I've always looked up to all the Knockouts who have come before me. And there have been some phenomenal women as part of this roster. And those are the people that I feel elevated women's wrestling, you know, when people really didn't believe that we could have full length matches and have real characters and, you know, dimension and everything. So it's unbelievable to me, but also believable because I've worked extremely hard to get to where I am. Nothing has ever been given to me. And, you know, I chose a path that was less traveled to get me here. But through all that, you know, obviously my work speaks for itself. And, I'm now the longest reigning Knockouts champion of all time in this company, and no one can ever take that away from me.
All right. Thank you guys all for your time, and hopefully we get Scott back.
I think Scott's back. Are you there, Scott?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I don't know. I dropped out there. So I guess to answer the second part of your question, in order to make sure that we're still relevant and competitive and successful, we need to continue to do what I think has been one of our strengths, which is to continue to go out there and harvest young, unknown talent and bring it along and develop it, and to feature compelling, intriguing storylines. And I think if you look at what we've tried to do with our storytelling in Impact Wrestling over the past couple of years, we've looked to try to tell a variety of different stories and all in their unique, compelling ways. Not every storyline in Impact Wrestling starts with one wrestler attacking another wrestler and, you know, that leads to the big grudge match. I mean, when you see things such as the Undead Realm that we've done, and you take a look at the types of stuff we've done with, you know, take Ace Austin. He was a young guy who, you know, was a good young wrestler that, you know, was out there in the independent scene, but lacked personality. But we've developed a persona and a look and a character for him and put him in a situation where he's now in a personal vendetta with Eddie Edwards. So as long as we continue to feature amazing talent and we put the talent in great spots and tell engaging and intriguing storylines, then I think that's really something that can set us apart from a lot of the other products that are out there. We really don't just focus on the in-ring talent. We focus a lot on the storytelling and the emotion of the journey.
All right. Thanks, Scott. All right. So our next question, we're going to move on to Bill Bodkin. Bill, are you there?
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. My first question will be for Scott. Scott, with the move to Access, first off, congratulations. How does this change the was there no change to Impact's plans for the future for expansion? I know you guys have the, you know, I'm talking from expansion of production in terms of the live show, bigger venues, maybe more dates. Is there any plans with that now that you're on a much larger platform than Pursuit?
I mean, I guess first, thank you, because it is an exciting, acquisition and move for us. And I would say that one of the dilemmas that I think faced us in the Pursuit era, we'll call it, was, we always went back and forth is do we, you know, back off the gas pedal a little bit, kind of coast until we get to where we knew we were going to be, because we knew this is where we were going to be when we left Pop TV. But, we knew it was going to be a bit of a process to get there. And one of the decisions we made was, in light of the fact of some of the history of the company and some of the times that it has let fans down, we always felt that we needed to go out there and put on the best possible products, no matter what. no matter who our domestic partner was, both because our domestic fans that have stuck with us deserve a great product, and also because we're not just a domestic product. We are seen around the world, and we needed to be fair to our international partners and our fan base all over the world. So we've done our darndest on Pursuit to go out there and put out a great product. One of the things we have done is tried to choose venues wisely, because we've seen in the past where you can put a decent amount of people in a building, but if you put them in a building that's sized accordingly for them, they're great. You put them in a building where it's five times as many empty seats as there is fans, well, then it gives you that hollow and unengaging atmosphere. So I think Bound for Glory this past Sunday was a great example of where we'll look to calculatedly and you know, with great caution and care, move to larger facilities. We moved to the, you know, the Odeum is the largest facility that Impact Wrestling has ran in many years. And to go in there and to sell that out in advance was an amazing accomplishment that we're all very proud of. We'll continue to make those type of calculated decisions as far as for venues. We'll continue to always look for ways to improve both the product and the delivery production-wise of the product. You'll see some extra bells and whistles added to the product on Access. We're not going to sit there and go crazy, because we don't think bells and whistles are what's going to get it done, guys. There's already one company out there that does bells and whistles better than anybody in the game. You know, what we do, which respectfully sometimes they lack, is a consistent vision and product that delivers on its promises and engages fans. And that's what's going to drive us to success. So that's what we'll continue to focus on.
Excellent. And my follow-up would be to both Taya and Brian. This was touched on for you already, but for both of you, for an American company, correct me if I'm wrong, the first major American company to put their respective world titles on both Brian and Taya, how does it feel to be, after all these years you guys have been doing this, for a company to say, you're going to be the face of the women's division, you're going to be the face of the men's division, you're going to lead this company, and we're giving you the ball? How does it, talk about the emotion you feel when a company comes to you and puts that title on you and gives you that confidence?
I mean, obviously it feels pretty darn good. No, it's just, like I said, it's added pressure, obviously, but I'm just, you know, I'm always very thankful to people, you know, everyone behind the scenes, Scott and everyone at Impact, who believed in me and saw something in me and allowed me to go with my crazy ideas and become the Taya that you guys are now seeing, and the Taya that now the longest reigning Knockouts champion of all time. Didn't come without a lot of hard work and failing and falling down and getting back up. But it's pretty incredible now, especially with us doing this move to Access TV, to representing a women's roster that for many, 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 many years has been called the best women's roster in professional wrestling. So I am extremely proud of my position, and I will continue to represent this company and these women the best of my ability.
Yeah, you know, you said you put the world title on me. They're actually the first company to put a title on me, period. I mean, that's a major national company. And when I won the X division title, I long posted about that and how great it was. And, you know, that's like one of the most real moments you can have in wrestling, and how great that felt to have that sense of accomplishment, and also the sense of, you know, trust, if you will, behind a company to put the title on you, and then to go on and be the world champion when the whole time during my whole program with Ty's husband, John, you know, I said I'd never won the big one. I've never been the guy. And a lot of people always ask me, you know, why? Well, I don't have that answer. I don't know. A lot of times I've even got the opportunity to be the guy. So to finally get that, and I feel like it was long overdue, is tremendous. And it's, you know, just my luck. I got hurt and couldn't really have the reign that I've wanted to have so throughout this time. But, you know, Impact's been wonderful with that and has worked it around me. They could have easily just taken the title off me and you know, give somebody else and said, hey, sorry about your luck. But that's not what happened. So I really appreciate that a lot. And it means a lot to me to be able to still represent the company as a world champion and, you know, get through Bound for Glory and deliver a killer main event and keep on.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Bill. All right. Our next question is going to come from Daniel Wood. Daniel, are you there?
Dan here.
Fantastic. Go ahead with your question.
First of all, this one, I guess, would be for Scott. The announcement of where to watch Impact on Access going forward in the UK was made recently, which is very exciting. I wanted to ask kind of a fairly straightforward question of, are there any plans for Impact Wrestling to come over to the UK and do some shows, or, you know, kind of cross over with another promotion or anything like that in the UK?
Yeah, thank you. The UK has always been a very strong and very important and really vital market for Impact Wrestling. And it's certainly high on our list of markets to get to. And it's one of those things that we've looked at since day one when we took over in January of 2018. And it's something that, we realize that our large and very passionate UK fan base is really chomping at the bit to be able to see and support Impact Wrestling live. And we're working very hard right now and have had some discussions to, fingers crossed, it's a goal to get Impact Wrestling back into the UK market from a live event perspective in 2020.
Well, thank you very much. And then my next question is to Brian and Taya. Obviously, a lot of people have come and gone in the Impact Wrestling roster while you guys have been in Impact. But who do you think right now could be the future of the company? You guys are the champions at the moment. But who do you think going forward are the people to look out for in the locker room?
Well, the future is now, okay? Come on.
Of course.
As far as the women,
go ahead, Ty. Go ahead.
As far as the women are concerned, I mean, we're seeing so many people evolve and change and really grow as performers, especially over the last few months, I would say. I think one of the main people that I've noticed is Kira Hogan has really improved and brought this new attitude and confidence that we haven't really seen from her before. But I mean, everybody... Every woman and every man on our roster, I feel like, is constantly evolving and changing and could potentially step into that position as being, quote-unquote, the future. But I'm just looking forward to, everybody just growing as a whole, and we'll see what the future holds, really.
I'm going to second what Ty said, too. I mean, especially with Kira Hogan. She's always been one of my favorites. I think she's developed and has... enhanced her talent and her performance tremendously. Scott mentioned earlier about Ace Austin, how well he's progressed throughout his short time in Impact Wrestling, and he just became an X Division champion. One of my personal favorites, which I'm so glad is a part of the team, and would love to see him break out even more, just because I still feel like many haven't got to see how great he is Willie Mack. I think Willie Mack is just absolutely phenomenal. I've never had a match with him where it wasn't like match of the night. The guy's just kills it, and I would like to see him really, really grow. And I think he could really take Impact to some different heights that people wouldn't expect. But also, as Ty said, I do think the reason why Impact has done so well and has such good morale in the locker room isn't because anyone's out there trying to be number one. I feel like as a team and a unit, we're all trying to make Impact number one, which then in return helps us get to that spot rather than looking at like, hey, what can I do just for me? It's like, hey, what can we all do together to steal the show and own the spotlight?
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's great. I did have one more question, which was kind of more related to Access, if I could ask that as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
Awesome. So this one would probably be more aimed at Scott. Obviously, Access, before it was purchased by Anthem, was the home of New Japan and women's wrestling. And I just wondered if you could comment on how much you knew about the future of those shows going forward on Access, and whether Impact would like to potentially work with those guys to stay on Access and work together and maybe have crossovers and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not directly involved in the programming of Access TV, so I'll leave that to be commented on from Access TV personnel on that end as far as for any relationships there. What I will comment on is on behalf of Impact Wrestling, I'd certainly say if you look at it, we have during our
regime certainly always said that we believe stronger together, which means that multiple companies coming together and working together to put on great, compelling crossover events and in any ways that we can interact with each other for the betterment of both companies and the fans isn't just a win-win, but it's a win-win-win where both companies succeed and the fans are the ultimate winners. So certainly as a longtime fan and friend of many at New Japan, always open to any type of collaboration with them and certainly respect, you know, Women of Wrestling. They're out there and a weekly episodical seasoned female wrestling product, exclusively female product. And we certainly applaud them on that. And we feel our Knockouts are the absolute best female performers and in many ways the best performers, period, in this industry. And we welcome any collaboration with other great organizations, whether they're featuring male or female competitors. If there's compelling stories to be told and there's good business to be done that rewards the companies and the fans, we're open to New Japan WOW and anybody else that wants to come forward and look at working together with us. Our track record is very strong on that, whether it's our amazing partnership with AAA Lucha Libre in Mexico, or whether it's right down to our smaller developmental partnerships with companies like Ohio Valley Wrestling and, you know, the Pro Wrestling Revolver. We look to work with others in the industry, big and small, if it makes sense. And, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling and WOW are certainly no different than that. They know how to get a hold of us, and we're open. And same to be said, if we have something that we come across, we'd be happy to reach out, have relations with both companies. If it makes sense for all of us, let's do it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Scott. That's all of my questions. Thanks for taking the time out to speak to us, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Daniel. All right, we got time here just for two more questions. So we're going to go over to Nathan Craver. Nathan, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Go ahead with your questions.
Okay, so my first question is really for anybody, but probably most likely Scott. And the question was, in the last 2 years, you all have sort of pushed the envelope with some of your stories with edgier type storylines and things like that. Do you see any restrictions as you move to Access TV in terms of those types of storylines? Will you have to pull back, or do you think a TV-14 or whatever rating would be appropriate for you guys?
We certainly consider ourselves TV-14. We try to be cognizant, obviously, of the vast range of age for viewers, but we are TV-14 viewing. And we of course, will stick within the guidelines that are specified for TV-14. And we'll always try to stay within the confines of what's considered good taste entertainment. But as you've seen in the past, you know, we think we've done it with some success. We will continue to push beyond some of those artificial barriers that have been imposed on wrestling products in the past. So if there's a good, compelling storyline and we can get a little edgy with it and have a little fun, you know, it's something that we think our fans will be into and it doesn't violate any of our standards and practices, and then you're going to see us just push that envelope ever so slightly.
And then I do have one follow-up, if that's okay. And it's either for Scott or Taya. With such a focus on the women's division in Impact Wrestling, and obviously we've heard several questions several comments about how it's considered one of the best in wrestling, is there any consideration about rebranding the Knockouts division to Women's Division or changing up what it's called just based on the name and the dual meaning that it could have?
I can answer, but I'd like Taya to take that. Sorry, Taya.
Well, I've actually been asked this a lot recently, and I mean, obviously, it just comes with the territory, and, you know, I personally believe that when I wanted to become a wrestler and I looked at the Knockouts, I never thought of them as being meek or feeble or, you know, anything like that. I looked up to them because of what it represented, the name, how it was branded, what they were as women wrestlers. So for me, I consider being called a Knockout in 2019 into 2020 as a privilege, because of all the women that came before me, and I never look at it as being something demeaning or that it should be changed. Although I know that some people will disagree with me, I believe that we're special. We're as equally as strong and talented and creative as the men, but we're also special. And I think that us being called the Knockouts keeps us that way. And I'm very proud to represent all the years that came, you know, all the women that came before me and all the years of hard work that they did to get us to this point. We are an evolution of what they did. So I absolutely embrace the Knockouts name.
Well, great. Thank you guys.
If you don't mind, I actually like to throw my two cents in there too, just as a fan as well. Especially when other companies were just, you know, when he called it the women's division, they were featuring women in the ring, but maybe a whole lot in our wrestling. And I actually felt like, you know, Impact or TNA at the time, the first one that actually had, you know, legit women's wrestling. And I thought the Knockouts division naming of that was kind of like a way to stand out. To be like, no, this isn't just going to be pretty girls in the ring, you know, dressed up as wrestlers. It's going to be actual girls in the ring wrestling. So I would rather say it the same because I don't see it being anything degrading whatsoever. And there's the history and the nostalgia behind it. But at the same time, you know, I thought it was like the best women's division when it first started. And as you, it's been said multiple times throughout this media interview, it's been known as the best women's division right now too. So I think it's kind of cool and makes it different and stand out and unique. And I mean, again, I don't see there's any reason to change it.
All right, great. Thank you guys for the answers.
Thanks, Nathan. All right, we're going to be able to actually squeeze in two more here. So let's go to Steve Bryant. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for taking my question.
First, go ahead.
Hey, first question for Scott. You guys have done a lot to improve the, the status of Impact from what it was. It's got a lot of positive fan feedback lately. But maybe the one negative kind of hanging over the company still is the Killer Cross situation. Has there been any movement on resolving that?
Sorry, I didn't hear the question there. It completely cut out.
Has there been any movement on resolving the
this
situation
was,
with Killer Cross?
Why, how come your Wikipedia said in the fifth grade you called a junkyard dog?
Hello?
So sorry, if you could repeat that one more time, sir, I'm sorry.
Yeah, has there been any movement on resolving the situation with Killer Cross is basically my question.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, we as a rule, we don't comment on contract situations publicly. Kevin is a talented performer, and we keep happy to an open dialogue on anything. So, I mean, ultimately, I'll leave that to be resolved between parties behind closed doors. But his time here was good. If something can be worked out for him to return, he's a great character and performer.
And I have a question for Brian and Taya as well. You guys work bar wrestling regularly. Is there anyone that you see there that you think would be a great fit for Impact?
Oh.
The first name, right when you asked that, for sure, Jake Atlas is phenomenal. I would love to see him there. I think he was at One Vegas taping before, but he would be great to be part of Impact. But, I mean, the whole bar roster is pretty phenomenal as a whole.
And I would think as for women, I would say Heather Monroe, for sure.
Okay, good. Thank you, guys.
Great. Thanks, Steve. And our last question here is going to come from Najir Chambers. Najir, are you there?
Sam, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead with your question.
Right on. So, Brian, also really phenomenal main event at Bound for Glory this past week. A lot of social media was really buzzing about your entrance, your entrance attire and gear. And everyone knows that you're a really big comic book fan. And I know a lot about that character as well. But I think coming back from the injury, I think there's probably a bigger meaning to why you select that iteration of Wolverine for this big main event. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about the person who made your gear and why was this your selection?
I have the machine moniker, I have the Wolverine moniker, and I had the entrance gear, like the machine one done at the beginning of the year. And I wanted to have some sort of Wolverine-esque inspired one. I actually went through a couple different ideas, and I was like, you know, I should just do Weapon X thing. And guy Dean Leeson, who makes shirts, actually done the Impact Wrestling Pro Wrestling Tees. Him and I came up with the design. It was, you know, it was what my entrance gear was got inspired by, which was Weapon X, but it kind of had like own little flair to it, and he called it Weapon Cage. And then my guy, Johnny Billson, who made the Terminator-esque outfit that I wore earlier, and he also did some costume work for me before in this fan film for Batman and for He-Man and stuff. He does a really good job. He made it for me. I actually had it done back in like June or so, and I just like, I'm going to hold off until Bound for Glory. Obviously, I didn't know, you know, what unveil everything as far as my injury and being out and, you know, the story on Sammy Callahan and yada, yada. I had no idea any of that would take place. That's just all kind of happened. But no, it was pretty fitting. And, especially as far as, the killer instinct, if you will, that Sammy put me to, and then also just being able to, come back and recover and be healed from an injury, Wolverine. So, and I'm back 100% ready to rock and roll.
Right on, right on. Appreciate that. And this is a question for any of you all. That's my final question. Is so we in the beginning of this conference call, a lot of emphasis on intergender wrestling. Now, with how society may not really receive such, and I'm a big fan of the independents, and obviously both of the champions have worked intergender wrestling all over the world. Why was this decision for Impact to really take something that's, you know, it could be controversial in some eyes and, you know, making big moves as to moving to Access TV? Why was this a risk that, you know, you was willing to take and for the overhead to say, like, we really should do this?
Scott?
If you lose Scott,
sorry, guys, sorry to cut out there. Can you repeat that?
Oh, quickly, Scott. Just the emphasis on intergender wrestling was something that's being very controversial for some all over the world. Why was this a risk that Impact was willing to take? Obviously, moving to another network as well. But why was this a risk that you was willing to take? And what type of reassurance did you get from your talent and so forth, knowing from obviously your champions who've worked intergender all over the world, that this was the decision that needs to go forward and Impact need to be the staple of intergender wrestling?
Well, I mean, I guess first and foremost, like I said, it's kind of shocking that here, you know, late into 2019, that we're really talking about how it's a risk to let men and women go out there and perform on equal footing. We've always done that separately, but with a lot of the changes and evolutions of things, and as I talked about needing to evolve or to pay the consequences, it's something that fans have grown to have an interest in. And Impact Wrestling has throughout its history always went out there and tried to find ways to present professional wrestling that it's not being presented on other major platforms and go out there and champion that cause. And in talking with our talent, overwhelmingly, talent is in support of it. There's certainly some females, some knockouts that prefer not to, and we of course respect that. But for the ones that want to take part in this, we think this is an opportunity to again show that we continue to break down all barriers, whether they're size barriers with the X division, whether they're gender barriers with the knockouts. We can tear those barriers down. And when you look at athletes like Tessa Blanchard and Tessa Valkyrie, and how do you look at an athlete like this and say that they can't compete in a pro wrestling genre environment on equal footing with men? Like, I'm pretty confident that if we put Ty out there in a fight against the majority of the men, let's take pro wrestling aside, let's put out there in a street fight and on the road or in a parking lot, and I think she's going to take with the majority of men because she's strong, she's powerful, and she's skilled. So she's skilled as a professional wrestler as well. Why can't we showcase athletes like that together? So for me, as far as for the risk, I don't think it's a risk. I think it would be a risk to not do it. It's a risk to do a disservice to athletes that I've seen since being involved in the knockouts division from day one. I've seen athletes on the female side be marginalized strictly because of their gender.
And I don't think that it's a risk to go out there and present one strong, powerful, talented athlete against another strong, powerful, talented athlete. And to continue to have a discussion about that is something that we're going to continue to push until all of a sudden, you know, at some point, it just becomes a common understanding that that's part of pro wrestling, guys. Athletes compete against athletes and let them go out there and perform. We are not out there in a strict athletic competition, guys. I don't think I'm spilling any secrets. We're out there presenting and telling compelling stories with characters with depth that connects with people. And why would we ever limit who we can interact in those stories? That's my opinion, and I think that's something that all of us at Impact Wrestling feel pretty strongly about.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, there's no doubt you can hear the passion in your voice about that.
All right. Thank you, Najir. And that will go ahead and wrap up our media conference call today. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining and asking all your questions. And please don't forget that Impact premieres on Access TV this Tuesday, October 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. If you guys have any follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to Cindy and myself. And thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for using WebEx.